My workshop was called the 2 degrees time bomb, and the crucial sort of message that I was trying to communicate was is that there are tipping points in the Earth system. The Earth system scientifically is non-linear, so if we cross certain thresholds, we can't go back. It's a bit like if you tip over a boat, it'll go back to where it was if you don't tip it too far. If you tip it too far, it capsizes and then it's stable in a new state, which is with you underneath it drowning. Now the Earth system has thresholds as well, which are similar in the sense that when you cross them, you can't go back. One of those is the collapse of the Greenland ice sheet, giving eventually 7 meters of sea level rise. Another is perhaps the collapse of the West Antarctic ice sheet, again giving huge rates of sea level rise. Those would obviously have dramatic impacts on society by flooding cities and so on. There's other tipping points in the actual way the carbon cycle operates. If we lose the Amazonian rainforest because of drought there, and which is something which is projected for between 2 and 3 degrees, then huge amounts of carbon go back into the atmosphere from the trees and from the soils, and that then accelerates global warming, potentially out of our control. Another tipping point is the operation of the Siberian permafrost. If that thaws out, there's a lot of methane that would come out of that, and carbon too. And so again, these are thresholds that we do not want to approach, let alone cross. And in order not to approach them and cross them, we have to stay below 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels. Everybody agrees on this: the EU, the Conservative Party, the Greenpeace. You know, pretty much everybody agrees that this is what we have to do. And yet the policies are not in place to make that happen. To stay within 2 degrees, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we need to peak global emissions by 2015, so within 7 years from now, which is why we're up against such an urgent timetable, because all of the policy measures which are out there talk about what we do by 2050, and my message is we've got to start talking about what we do by 2015.
And this was the workshop you've just given this afternoon. It sounds pretty doom and gloom. What can we do about it?
Contrary to that, this was the most optimistic workshop I've done for a long time. Really? Because I was talking about how it's not too late. A lot of people come to this with the idea that somehow it's too late to stabilise the global climate. We're going to lose these ecosystems. We're going to lose the ice caps. We're going to lose, most of humanity. And actually, okay, it's urgent. We haven't got very long left. I mean, 7 years isn't very long. But even so, there's uncertainties attached to all of these kinds of things. I mean, that depends on how lucky we are. It's a gamble. You know, we are gambling with the one planet that we have and with our children's future, but it's a gamble nonetheless. And we could keep on raising emissions for another 30 or 40 years, and we might be lucky that warming would still be tolerable. But the odds get less and less by that point. I mean, we're still only 70-30 at 2 degrees for peaking by 2015, so we're still gambling whatever happens.
And what makes you qualified to give a talk like this?
I've written a book called 6 Degrees, which is going through the main scientific research that's been published in the last 3 or 4 years. And essentially what I wanted to do is not to make, not to say when anything was going to happen, but to say this is a what-if scenario. If we warm the planet by 1 degree, then, for example, we see deserts expanding in the US, we lose the world's tropical coral reefs. 2 degrees, we lose Greenland, and just go on up the scale up to 6 degrees, which really is the ultimate environmentalist apocalyptic nightmare. We would lose most of life on Earth, including most of humanity. So these are areas where we don't want to go, quite clearly. But we'd still have to emit quite a lot of carbon from now on to get to those extreme levels of warming, and so they're still avoidable. And so, to some extent, that's still a positive message. If we can avoid the apocalypse, then we should do, and that's what we're campaigning here at the Climate Camp for.
Sounds sensible. And what do you think of the camp? Do you think things like this are a good idea?
I think camp is an amazing feat of organisation, and it's probably the most optimistic I've felt for a long time, just coming here and seeing people prepared to, to make the effort to come out here and protest at one of the most important sources of carbon dioxide emissions in the UK, and also one of the most high profile. I mean, it's a very divisive issue, this issue of aviation, and it's got huge amounts of media attention. For the argument, the radical argument which needs to be made, that we're not taking this issue seriously enough. Yes, the government's got climate change bills, and the Conservative Party's got its policies and so on, but actually none of this is actually reducing emissions in the real world. So what we're about here is saying, putting much stronger demands, and saying this is going to mean thinking the unthinkable, that you cannot simply carry on flying away to your holidays, and that's not a message you're going to get from anyone else.
Okay, that's great. You said you had a book out. What's your name? I don't think we caught that at the start.
Oh, no, I didn't tell you. My name is Mark Linus, and I've written a book called 6 Degrees.
And do you have any websites you'd like to recommend?
MarkLinus.org would be a good one. Otherwise, the Climate Camp website or realclimate.org for good scientific information. There's tons of stuff out there. I think within 10 years' time, we could make significant progress to decarbonising the global economy. We could see reductions of emissions within that time frame, certainly from the industrialised world. I don't think it's likely to happen from China and India because they've got rapid industrialisation, and that's a very big ship to turn around. But this is why aviation is so important, because that's the last area where we are behaving as an industrialised, newly industrialising country. See what I mean? We are expanding aviation emissions by such an extraordinary amount that we are like the China and India of aviation, basically. So this is the last area where we have to put a stop to runaway growth in our own economy in terms of our own emissions. And that can happen within, well, I mean, we can put a stop to new runways and new airport infrastructure development tomorrow.